Have you ever walked on water? I can honestly say that I have had the experience of walking on water. My dad has a lake home up in northern Minnesota, and one particular day I went down to the water and I carefully put one foot out on top of the water, then another foot on top of the water, and I kept going and I walked all the way across the lake. But one detail I didn't share was that was in January, and there were 2 feet of ice. The reality is, as far as I'm aware, there's only been two people in history that could walk on water, and that was Jesus and Peter. We're going to learn about that today as we continue the series focusing on Thy Kingdom Come. And as we conclude this, the focus today is not adventure, walk or sink. And I want to challenge you today. It's not going to be the kind of sermon that's going to be really comfortable. I got to be honest with you. It might be challenging for you, but it's going to hurt, and I believe it's going to hurt good. As I look at the world today, and I'm sure you can relate to this, we live in a world in which people like to be entertained, a spectator world, where people like to watch others live their lives. 10 hours and 29 minutes. You know what that is symbolic of? That's the average time people spend each day in front of electronic devices, TVs, cell phones, computers. And that was in 2018. I believe now the number's even higher, especially during this time in which we have been going through this, stay-at-home period. Probably more time in technology. I don't want to say that technology is evil. But let me ask you a question. Is technology helping you in your life? Is technology helping you grow spiritually? And right now, I guess you can say, yeah, I'm watching a sermon online. That's a good thing. But you realize even for Christians, they spend less than 10% of their time in front of different types of technology, going through information, helping them to grow in their faith. Less than 10% of the time. That means 90% of the time it's worldly related. As you look at the world today, what we're seeing is people becoming more isolated. We're seeing people that are becoming more couch potatoes. They're not as active. They're not as involved. They're watching life happen. And the challenge of our text for today is to get out of the boat, to get out of our comfort zones, to live a life of adventure. Adventure is not watching other people's lives. Adventure is creating things in life to take your life and make it count for the building up of God's kingdom. Today, we're going to learn some very important truths from Jesus. And it picks up where we left off last week. And it comes from Matthew chapter 14. And we begin in verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. If you recall, last week, Jesus had received the news that his relative and dear friend, John the Baptist, was brutally executed. And he wanted to spend some time alone. And he tried to get away, but the crowds followed him. He had compassion on those crowds. And he fed over 5,000 people, in fact, counting women and children, probably over 20,000 people. And now that event is concluding. He's sending the crowds away. He's sending his disciples on a boat because he now wants to take the time he didn't have before to be with his Father in prayer. Jesus is 100% human. And as a human, he needs to rest. He needs to refocus, recalibrate. And so he sends the disciples off, and he's having this time with his Father in heaven. And somewhere around maybe between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning, he knows that his disciples are in trouble. And we pick up from there at this point in the next section of this reading. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus, 100% man, also 100% God. And he realizes that his disciples are in trouble. And so he approaches them in the wee hours of the morning before it is light. And they see him coming on the water. And three things happen here, three reactions. First of all, it says they were terrified. Then they think it's a ghost, and they cry out in fear. Jesus responds back three times to each of these situations that they have laid out. He says, take heart, because the first thing they had said was they were terrified. And then he says, it is I. They thought it was a ghost. He said, no, it's me, Jesus. I'm not a ghost. And also said that they were afraid, and he says, do not be afraid. He's reaching out and touching each of their concerns and trying to get them to calm down. He's come out there to help them. And we read on. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. There are some very important truths in this section of Scripture that I want you to gain, that I truly believe are going to help you in your life and on our journey to heaven. And the first thing that we learn about this text is this, that Jesus is always with us. Even in the most difficult times, he never leaves us. He will never forsake us. He knows what's going on in our lives. He addresses their concerns, and ultimately, he's going to make the storm go away. But he's letting them experience some of these challenges. You know, they look at the world today, and a lot of parenting is changed over the generations. For a while, they're calling some parents helicopter parents because they hovered over their children. Now they're more and more calling some parents lawnmower parents because they're mowing the path for their child. They're not letting their children experience the challenges of life. They're not letting their children experience difficulties and hardship. And I'll tell you, for a lot of these people, as they grow up, life is going to be a big challenge for them. God is the ultimate parent. And we see that he's working through in Jesus here, and he's helping his disciples to learn and grow. He's there to help them, but he's letting them experience the challenges to grow through it. But he will be there for us. He will never leave us or abandon us. The Great Commission from Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We see the promise there at the end. I'm with you always. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Even in those most difficult, challenging times, he's there to help us, walking alongside of us. And he does get involved when the time is right. But we're never alone. The next is a sequence of things we learn from the event which took place with Peter. And what we realize in this event is that, you know, Jesus comes to them and he tries to calm them down. And Peter kind of cries out, hey, Jesus, if it's you, you know, let me come to you in the water. And Jesus says, come. And Peter does something absolutely amazing. He gets out of the boat. He's got his focus on Jesus. The first thing is trust. Trust is getting out of the boat. And Peter gets out of the boat. And he is walking on water with his focus on Jesus. That's the second thing, focus on Jesus. And in doing this, he's walking on the water. He's doing what's humanly impossible. And that's what happens when our focus goes on Jesus. The ordinary becomes extraordinary, and things happen which are humanly impossible. But then the next thing takes place where he's getting really close to Jesus. You can almost, you know, see like even a baby take his first steps, walking to the parents, but all of a sudden Peter's looking around and it says he sees the wind. Now, how can he see the wind? What it really means is he sees what the wind is doing, and there's waves, and he can feel the pounding of the wind upon him, and he's thinking he's maybe be overcome by these waves, and especially being a fisherman and knowing how these storms can be so powerful. And his focus goes off of Jesus, and it goes to the waves, off of the solution to the problem. And then once he's focusing on the problem, what happens? Kaplunk. He sinks. He's going down. But we see something as well here. He knows he's in trouble. He cries out, Jesus, save me. He admits he's in trouble. And so often in life, as we sink, so often we have to admit we're in trouble. Admit our challenges and difficulties to Jesus. Admit and confess our sins to Jesus. And the next thing is to accept his help. Because Jesus reaches out his hand and he grabs Peter and he pulls him up and says, oh, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? And puts him in the boat. I don't see him saying it mean. Because he loves Peter. And he's trying to show Peter example here that if you trust in me, if you focus on me, you can do things that go beyond the ordinary. And they get in the boat. And so we see this grouping of events here, the sequence of what happens, to trust in Jesus, to focus on him. When we fail to admit that we've made a mistake, to accept his help. And then the fifth thing is to keep growing in the process, to keep repeating this process over and over again. And sometimes the way we grow in life is by failing forward. And Jesus calms the storm, and they worship him. And you look at the life of Peter, and what you realize is he kept growing. Sometimes he stuck his foot in his mouth, and sometimes he said amazing things. But as you follow his life, you see him keep growing in his trust and focus of Jesus. And after Jesus died and rose, he goes out to bring the gospel to large portions of the then known world, and he ends up in Rome, from what history tells us, and he was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same way that Jesus was. Talking about faith, he wasn't afraid of dying. He was living adventure. He was leading all kinds of people to faith in Jesus to live forever, because in the end, that's all that matters. The things of this life, they come and go. You see, the sea is symbolic of this life. That boat is symbolic of God's church. We've been rescued. We've been saved. We are forgiven. We're on the way to heaven. We're part of God's kingdom. But there's all kinds of people all around us in the sea that are drowning. They're not admitting their faults. They're so often blaming others. They're sometimes dulling their pain, their hurt through addictive behaviors. And we have to rise above this as Christians. We can't live that way. And they're drowning. And they're separated from God. And they're trying to find the answer for life. And we have it. Those of us in the boat, those of us in the kingdom of God, we have the answer. But we need to get out of the boat to rescue them. We can't stay in our comfort zones. We can't let the world determine the path that we're on, but let the Holy Spirit determine the path that we're on. We know people in our lives that don't know Jesus, and he's counting upon us to be the ones to be the bearers of the message. And it's going to take different approaches in this day and age. It's going to take a lot of patience, a lot of living the Word of God, and listening, and eventually when the time is right to be speaking the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will guide us in this process, but we need to get out of the boat. We're not seeing people flocking into churches. We're seeing more and more people leaving churches. But the church was never told to stay put. The church was told to go. That's what Jesus tells us. The church is a people in movement. We come together as a church to worship, to praise God, to experience this and receive the sacraments. But then we are released to go out to bring the message to the world, to bring more people into the kingdom, into God's boat, on to heaven. And here's the challenge I want to share with you in closing. I believe that God has a special calling for each and every one of us. You know what it is. And what I see is when people listen to that calling, when they follow the movement of the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe reaching out to a certain person, maybe it's some type of a mission you're called to do or a ministry. I'm not sure what it could be. It could be a number of different things. But I believe God puts things in people's hearts. And if everybody did what God put in their heart, amazing things happen. I've seen this happen time and time again in God's church. I'm seeing it happen more and more through St. Mark. More people rising up to fulfill and go for the calling that God puts on their heart. What is that calling God has given to you? As long as we have breath on this planet, He has a calling for you. And here's the challenge. Get out of the boat. You can play it safe. Sure. You can sit in front of that TV set 10, 12 hours a day and those apparatuses and just entertain yourself. That's boring. That's not life. God is calling us out of the stands, out of the field. He doesn't want us to be spectators. He doesn't want us to be watching other people's lives. He wants us to live our lives for His glory, for the building up of His kingdom. And two key parts of this, again, is trust Him and get out of the boat and keep your focus on Him. Trust and focus. But even the process, sometimes we're going to mess up. And when we fall and we sin, we admit it. And we accept the help that Jesus gives us. But we keep growing and we keep going to make disciples for Jesus and growing as His disciples. My friends, God is calling us to get out of the boat. To walk on water, whatever that water is we're to walk on. And the more we trust in Him, we're going to do things to go beyond what's humanly possible. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for the example You show us. We know You're always with us every step of the way. You know what's going on inside of us. You want us to keep growing. And that's what this text for today is all about, to grow. Help us to trust You and get out of the boat, get out of our comfort zones. Help us to focus on You. And so doing, be empowered to do things go beyond what's humanly possible. Help us to admit when we make mistakes, when we fall, when we sink. To accept Your love, Your forgiveness, Your healing, Your direction, and to keep growing. In the process, Lord, for us to keep going out into this world in whatever way it is You're calling us to be involved. Help us to listen to that calling Your Spirit's putting on our hearts. Help us to step out in faith and to live it out. But knowing that through faith in You, we are in the boat. We're heading towards heaven. But Lord, help us to choose adventure over complacency. We pray this in Your name. Amen.